My next guest is Arash Farbound. He is the CEO and founder of Farbound Cars, who's an amazing person to speak to and looks like it's going to be a good podcast. Welcome, Arash. How are you?
I'm all good. Thanks for seeing me today.
That's all right. That's all right. I've got a bit of a cold, so if you sound a bit croaky, don't worry. Don't worry.
It's not COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, sing it.
Yeah, just clear the airway. Yeah. So tell us about the company and where you are at the moment, what you're doing.
So we're a 21-year-old company, been doing petrol and hybrid cars. And now we've moved on to electric only. For a good reason. The engines now don't compete with electric for us. We don't have emissions issues and the complexity has been removed. So a small company like us, the maintenance cost for the client is just very, very small now. So the concentration for us is on design, aerodynamics and performance, as well as the beauty of the cars, rather than having to deal with complexities of the cars, which are heat and fuel and engines and pistons and servicing and all that sort of stuff. So the performance we're getting is quite high. And our first car that's electric, we launched it as Imperium about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. We've been working on it for a number of years. It's the third iteration. So we've been working on prototypes secretly in different phases. And this one is, this is a very powerful one. Imperium, got to get the name right, is very, very powerful. Its launch version we should really reveal in a week's time. So it's had a refresh. It's called called our prototypes AFX for years, so this one will be the very first electric hypercar that you can buy. Well, only a few people are going to be buying it.
And so how many electric motors has that got?
So the very first one we're releasing, it's only got one motor in it. And it's going to have around 600 kilowatts, up to 600 kilowatts peak. It's like 700, 800 horsepower.
Yeah.
And a 50 kilowatt hour battery. And that's all we need. We don't need any more because the car's made out of a carbon monocoque and carbon bodywork. So it doesn't really have a weight issue. So its mass is low. So its acceleration is good. Yeah. And it's a beautiful car. It, you know, looks like a spaceship.
Really? Okay. So
it looks amazing.
Talk to me about the space stuff, because your AF10 car has got a lot of space kind of style of design in there as well. So how has space inspired you, and what's made you go down this route?
Well, you know, we all like Star Wars, don't we? And
yeah,
I'm a sci-fi guy, so I've always watched sci-fi movies and I've always liked the idea of looking out of Earth, not just on Earth. Always liked the technology in space systems that are depicted by the movie industry rather than reality.
Yeah.
So reality, you kind of just had a space shuttle and some big tubes. But Star Wars, you've got a lot more breadth there. It's interesting because AF10, I forgot about this. It's good that you reminded me on this. We use warp drive technology, and I looked it up. Warp is not a patented or trademarked term or name by Star Trek. So we were using these things in 2015, and also the connotations on AF10 is, you know, spaceship technology. So we knew that we were going towards that with all the materials and processes that we're using. And then as I got to the end of my cycle of making cars to the volumes I was comfortable with, I needed to look at something else that would be using the good knowledge of my skill base and materials in something really useful. So we were looking at like doing a volume car, but it sounded like it's going to be too competitive, and we don't really want to be part of something that's too competitive. So right. space stuff makes a lot of sense now. There's a lot of drone stuff going on, and
yeah,
autonomous vehicle development, but it's so behind the autonomous vehicle development. Mm. So the space stuff seemed to make the most sense, and it's interesting that I've been talking about it even on our website since 2015. And yeah, as you see me, I'm behind. I've got Buzz behind me, as you can see.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I had this picture years ago. It's always been in here. And when I do my videos and talk to people on Instagram, as you've seen, I've always got Buzz behind me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's always been here. I didn't really. It's been here like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all cool. Subconscious. And you work for the space industry, which is quite fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was part of the Mars rover team, building that, getting that ready for launch.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was a good project to work on.
Yeah.
It's, I like the wheels on that. Yeah. They're interesting wheels, but they're...
Why is it so slow? Is it because the payload was too heavy if you put tyres on it and you weren't too sure if it had a puncture or something?
No, what I think the reason it was so slow was because they want to track every single part of the area that they're covering. So if it's moving too quickly, I don't think it covers. It doesn't pick up. It can't pick up specimens from the ground. It's got a 2-meter drill, and that drill is specific in where it drills, and it needs to be. Moving slowly, so when it stops, it doesn't jolt and doesn't make the cameras. It's a lot. There's a lot of because the wheels have been redesigned several times. They were solid wheels before, and then all of a sudden, one of our engineers came up with the idea to make them components. You know, assemble it as a several parts and bolt them all together, so that can mm-hmm. track over the surface, because the surface of the Mars terrain is quite rough. It's not flat, so hopefully we don't lose
like,
it.
It's funny. It seems like they keep sending stuff. They keep sending bicycles up and to Mars and the Moon when they need to be sending over Hummers. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if I want to go to the moon, I want a military vehicle. Do you not want a flimsy bicycle with metal wheels? Why are they sending skeletons up there instead of, you know, army trucks? Yeah. That's the way I'd see it. But, you know, I don't think the same. And that's kind of where I'm thinking. It's like, these guys need proper equipment up there. They want proper payloads shipped up there. They don't, you know, I know how much energy is required to beat gravity. But you know, come on, let's get some big spaceships, big rockets up there. Let's get some 3D printing up there. And you know, I'm sure a lot of people catch up with what you're saying and what I'm saying. It's got to be big.
We've got some brackets that we made in the 3D print, and they're flying now. So they've proved that concept works and it's viable from a stress perspective.
Brilliant.
You know?
Brilliant. We've got 3D printers and they're banging out all day long stuff in carbon and nylon and ABS. Just imagine if I was making for spaceships.
It's
de-skilling everything. We need to de-skill and make things as cheap as possible to make tubes and funnels. Mm. That's it. They're essentially tubes and funnels, like aircraft stuff. The faster we can make it, the better. And 3D printing is wonderful. You press play, done.
Yeah,
it's faster than machining. I'm an expert at machining and 3D printing. I machine massive parts of the car industry for my cars. You know, these are complex supercar bits, chassis, monocoques. I did a whole year of it, I was going, I want it 3D printed. This is just too damn slow. And everyone's going, well, you can't, Arsh, because it's too expensive. It takes too long. And I'm looking and going, no, it's not. The capital investment cost for doing a robotic arm with a squeezy tube in it is not that bad. Okay, yeah. If you want to do it in metal, then yes, it is expensive. It doesn't have to be in metal. I mean, what's the temperatures in on space? -3 degrees, isn't it? Some places.
Depends where you are. Depends where you are.
On the moon, I can't remember what it is.
No, I can't remember, but it's not... I think the other side is colder than this side.
Yeah, of course.
Our side, yeah.
Yeah, so, the other side is like -200 or something crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
That's not good. I think the Chinese had sent something up there, haven't they, on the other... Well, they so-called sent something up there, but no one can prove it, can they?
No, the war is on. You know, who's going to get the gold on the moon and Mars? It's China. But you know, the Chinese have a problem with their labour costs now.
Yeah,
they can't do it anymore. They're like, oh my god, we're no different to America and Europe now. Why? Because everyone's eating McDonald's and Papa John's and living in duplexes in Shanghai. We got up our rates, so it's just not happening. So I can understand why Elon's making the robot. We need robots as quick as we can. We do not need machines. Now, because they take so much money and too much cost to make them. But the robots is just like a human with hands, and they've got lots of hands there. But those hands are really expensive now. They're so expensive, you know. And I've been learning about China when I speak to my suppliers. Like, Irish, we need to send you stuff now because we've got an energy problem. We have to have energy on for 1 week and then off for another week. I'm going, you what? You have to turn your electricity off for a week. Why?
Yeah.
And, you know, I never forget the issue when I used to go to China. I'd arrive and go, why is it fog everywhere? Do you know about this? You don't know about this, do you?
No, I do.
You'll arrive in China and go, why is it like Charles Dickens times in Shanghai? Yeah. And they go, well, the factories are... Oh, well, it gets a bit more see-through on Sunday. And I'm saying, so they're getting away with this shit, are they? And they, you know, speak to the Chinese people. That, yeah, well, you know, we're going through our industrial revolution at the moment.
Yeah.
You're going through your industrial revolution at everyone's expense. Yes, but you're paying for this. You're getting cheap stuff. I'm going, you what? You are, you're basically subsidizing our atrocities with validity. And I said, nah, this ain't, I'm not happy with this. And at that point, we were like, right, mad rush back to England, make our own stuff, use solar panels. We've got the largest solar structures in the country on all our factories. We do as much as we can over here. And it saves the Chinese. Because you know what? It's horrible when we speak to our Chinese suppliers. They're like, I'm so sorry. We're on 26-week lead time now. You know, they're embarrassed. It's like, what do you mean 26? We might go to 28. I said, what do you want me to do? And they're going, there's nothing you can do, but we don't want to lose you as a customer. And I said, well, we aren't a customer because there is nothing coming. 28 weeks is half a year. I'm not a customer. I'm a dreamer. So we're really buggered. We're really buggered, you know. And last January, I was with my board team going, if you don't do machinery now, and we start making stuff in-house now and fail a bit, just fuck up, fail a bit, then there's going to be a suspended problem by 2024. And they're going, no, Arash, China's a big country. We can keep buying stuff from them. We'll sell all our injection molding machines. We'll send them over to somebody else in China. You know, it's all rubbish. It's not going to go that way. And I'm looking at all five board members and I'm going, look, I have never felt so much pressure in my life as today. Tax and energy is very skewed at the moment. And, you know, I speak to them on a daily basis now, and they're going, you're right. I said, look, I don't want to be right. It's so flipping obvious.
Yeah.
And now they're saying they're turning the electricity off. And I'm thinking, you know, consumption and production has to be onshore. Look at Tesla. They've got a factory in America, multiple places, big consumption, 360 million. They have a factory in Europe. Berlin has been established now. They did have their final assembly in Denmark. I can't remember. And they got one in China. So all their big consumption points nailed it. Anybody's consumer onshore manufacturing nailed it. Total control supply chain. The Germans are literally punching themselves, killing themselves to get anywhere. And their manufacturing costs are just so high. But we'll sell our ID6, whatever it is, at minus £400,000 profit on a £20,000car.
Yeah.
Because that's all they know after World War II, build cars, experts with whatever. So we got a big problem ahead of us. That the country is okay because they just print money now. Money's nothing. And it's like, do you want some money? Here's money. Free money. It's free money, man. We'll give you an even bigger bounce back loan. Just, you know, it's no issue if you can't pay it. No one cares. Here's all the money and here's more. Go spend it. Go spend it on stuff. But we need you to spend on the stuff that's important for us to recover it, which is higher income tax rates and goods that's consumable, you know, like Amazon stuff. But don't buy from Amazon because they don't pay their taxes. But you should, because they employ people. So they know exactly how to get the system back into the system by giving you lots of free money, credit points. I think there's going to be a little bit of a crunch going on, but I don't think it's of any benefit to anybody to raise interest rates and credit cards and all that sort of stuff. I don't think there's any benefit for that. I think that it's just free money now. And what does that mean? It means we've become more consumers and unhappier. Do we need to buy another car? Not really. You got enough cars. Come on. You got three in the driveway. You know, son, mum, dad, daughter. Do we need to buy lots of rubbish? Do you want 15 pairs of Nike trades? Does it really matter in that terms of mental consumerism? No, it doesn't.
No.
I think we're about to hit a window of humans actually waking up and going, we should be actually investing our money, not on war, but useful things like saving this planet from non-destruction. There's enough going on in dealing with crop improvement and famine improvement and looking after the welfare of mental state. There's enough going on there, and it's brilliant. That is brilliant. What the Bill Gates Foundation, all these other foundations, is absolutely brilliant. Don't stop. But in order to maintain this human race, it needs a colonization off this planet. You know, Elon was right.
Do you think that's true?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Let's say we have a total destruction effect on, what's it called? TIE, total extinction effect. A TIE. We're back to cavemen. You know, have you seen 2001, A Space Odyssey? Probably years ago. You must watch.
I haven't seen.
It's awesome. Forget 2010, rubbish. 2001, awesome movie. Dawn of Man.
Okay.
And a bone. You must watch it tonight with your wife and the kids. Uh-huh. It's a bit scary at the end for the kids. My kids watched it. But it's awesome because it really explains how long it's taken us to get to a mobile phone, a television, the currency system. It's taken a long time to get to where we are. The silicon chip from Dawn of Man in the movie. And there, it's interesting because everybody in the movie, is it a Kubrick movie? I can't remember. Everyone in the movie has no personality. The only person, look at it on Wikipedia, the only person that has a personality in the entire movie is Hal, the computer. Hal. Hello, Dave. He says, hello, Dave. And he sings a song. He sings Daisy.
Yeah.
Daisy, Daisy. And as Dave's pulling out all the computer chips to disarm him because he's killing all the astronauts, he sings Daisy. And he's the only character, Kubrick, I think he did it deliberately. Yeah. The AI, Hal, was the only person that sang throughout the movie. And then you've got the end scene as he goes back into time and he goes younger. It really, when I saw that movie, 4 years ago, my brother said, look, let's watch 2001. It's really bonkers. And the reason we watched it is because he was moving a big chest of drawers, like the black obelisk in 2001. And he goes,
yeah.
He's singing, he's going, rough, check it out. He goes,
yeah. I'll have to sit down and watch it.
You've got to watch it. And when we were working together, we were trying to do stuff. We were setting up a room in the offices. He'd just joined me in my company, and he was going ooh, like this, like the monkeys talking at the beginning of 2001. When we couldn't sort shit out, we'd go because we're, you know, complete sickos. You know, how do we get these parts from here to there with a machine that's got to be run by Gary? And we look at each other and go, ooh.
Get
this movie to show how unbelievably thick we can be and stupid because of our desires. That movie, that I might watch it again tonight. I love it because they predicted FaceTime and iPads in that movie, and the chairs, the architecture and the chairs are beautiful. You look at the orange and pink chairs, and the astronauts come down and talk to them. Hello, Gary. How are you? I'm fine. And how is Moon Sector 605? Oh, it's wonderful. Yes. Will you be joining us for tennis next? I just thought it's like, it's like meeting at the country club, isn't it? Having a discussion with astronauts, you know, Zmerkirov, I can't remember his name, a Russian guy who'd just been to a sector of the moon to see the black obelisk, the black block. I can't remember what it's called. And must watch it. And those are the things that inspired me. And of course, Star Wars, cool, man. Different planets.
Yeah.
Star Trek. So we are space, the final frontier. These are the stories of the Voyager traveling through our galaxy to go to places that no person, they don't say no man anymore, has gone before. My mum's called Huri, so I nicknamed my mum Uhura.
Okay. Have you named any cars after your family?
No. They're all fax machine names. AF10, AF8, AFX. GTS, GT, AF10, LM. We did the latest one. The most powerful one's called Imperium, which is a very old school name. But I've not named anything after. The spaceships are probably going to... My chicken's not in this room at the moment. My son's got him at the moment.
Yeah.
He's a big golden cockerel. Yeah. He's made a bit of a poo mess over here. He's going to be the mascot because he can fly. He's noisy. He's got a great personality. He's gonna come in a second. You know what? I'm in his room. This is his room, actually. So he's got a B&O telly, a rocking horse, a fish tank. There's only one fish in there. He's got a fridge freezer, which has got a bit of poo on it. He's got Buzz Aldrin, and he's got a box, but he don't go in his box because he's massive. I mean, he was there were two of them, and they hatched through lockdown. My wife had an incubator. We had some eggs, and they both hatched to our absolute amazement. Because I think 10 years before that, she took some eggs from her sister's farm, and they didn't hatch. They were they were stillborn. Those chickens were checked inside them, but these two hatched. And they were you know squeaking away, and then they grew, and they're both cockle-doodle doos. Well, now we've got boys, no eggs here. All the neighbours were so disappointed. You know, no eggs because of lockdown. All they could hear was cockle-doodle-doo, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Sadly, one of them passed away. The orange, big red, as I called him. He was such a lovely bird. Oh, such a lovely bird. So kind.
Are they vicious?
Yes, of course, they've got huge. But our ones... They recognise 120 faces, but if they don't recognise you, then they'll go for you. They bite and, you know, they do this thing with their talons. But our one's like a teddy bear to us. Yeah. You know, we can pick him up, turn him upside down and cuddle him and talk to him. And he sits on my knee, you know, my foot. when I'm working as a chat. They're lovely personalities, but the wild ones are quite vicious. But he's very home trained. He likes being indoors rather than outside. Does not like being outside at all. Hates it. Yeah. You know, he got lots of threats, predators like foxes and badgers, and he was tracked out of his room one night by the fox, and he lost his tail feathers, but he's all right now. Well, that was 2 years ago. It was like, fuck, lost Fluffy. We lost him. I was so pissed off. And Jimmy was clucking around going, he was going, boop, 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 boop. And I could hear Fluffy. He was going, boop, 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 boop. And he came out with all his tail feathers. Disappeared, big puff of feathers. I was like, all right, okay, we've got a fox issue here. So that was it. We brought him in. They were secured. They were secured. Now he's inside all the time, so he looks out the window. He's not in the room at the moment because my son's got him. Okay. He'll come in a minute when he starts making noise. Sorry, I'm dragging that one out. You're going to have to adjust your podcast to shorten it.
No, that's all right. I just think it's fantastic that you're a hypercarb. You're a hypercarb builder who has cockerels in his house, and is into space and technology. It's just I'm thinking, how am I going to edit this podcast?
You don't need to. Just do it like Joe Rogan does it. Just let it run for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Coffee. Oh, sorry. Yeah, my kid's nanny's here. She's Chinese. From Hong Kong. So we have a great conversation. She teaches me Chinese, Hong Kongese. Brilliant. She's just looking after. When I'm at home, it's so much easier because I don't have to make so much stuff in my car company. It's all design phase now. So all the designers work from home. I don't have to stay on top of them. They just report to me, through WhatsApp and messages, and I can see what they're doing. And they've got a project lead, so I don't have to be around anybody, on top of them going, are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? I don't fucking care. Is the project nearly finished? Yeah. You don't have to be here. Yeah. It's work from home. Yeah. It's called modern technology, so I don't have to stress myself going backwards and forwards. I have one meeting today. In terms of the podcast, if it runs for 3 hours, just publish it for 3 hours. Because you know why? People are more interested in hearing the full story uncut than a clipped down thing to 6 minutes. Mm. They don't care. Mm. They're like, because they're going to be in the car for 3 hours in a day, 1 hour traveling, 1 hour back, or 20 minutes to school, 20 minutes back, or 30 minutes to see in the car park when they're waiting for their friend. So they'll listen to your podcast if it's genuine, real, and they're going to be saying, well, this guy's a nutter. He's a complete fucking nutter. Why should I believe in him? But that's the whole point. You've got to be wacky to do great things. There is a fine line between sanity and insanity. I get that. Or genius. And I was sitting next to a guy on Monday, and he's going, Arsh, the only reason people are classified as geniuses because their theories continue through generations, like Sir Isaac Newton from Cambridge, like Albert Einstein. I think he was at Cambridge as well. Professor Hawking lived next door to me. From Cambridge, and I was at the Dinosaur Museum learning about Darwin, and I was like, hang on, was he at Cambridge as well? So he was. I didn't realise. And I did genetics at university, and we studied Darwinism. And the guy was a geologist. He liked collecting stones and gems and fossils. It wasn't geneticist. Crick and Watson from Cambridge discovered DNA. What is that? Yeah. No, just coffee. Just coffee. No, just black coffee, Wendy. Thank you.
Yeah.
So looked after. These guys all came from Cambridge. And it's funny because when I go, when I cycle everywhere in Cambridge, supercar driver. Cycles, my front drive is hilarious. I do look like a my front drive looks like a footballer's, one of those footballers front drives, it's littered with supercars because I like cars.
Do you keep them at home then?
Some, not all of them. I keep like four at home. I don't keep all of them because there's not enough space. I'm in central Cambridge and there's a 911 parked out. So I've got a 992 that I bought for the wife because she said, I want a 911 and you've got nice cars. I'm like, I'll buy one then. And then it was in the garage, couldn't use it, so I leave it outside. So my mum and dad come and see me. And they're like, Arash, why you waste your money on stupid cars? I'm like, I do, Dad, but you know, don't waste on other things, you know. And my wife's like, you know, why'd you keep the 911 on the front drive? I'm like, you know what? When I come home, it's something nice to look at.
Yeah.
When I drive out, I'm like, it's a nice shape. And when I come home, I'm like, it's worse. What's the worst thing I can arrive home to? Ah, great. The Volvo's on the front drive. Great. Ooh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know, for that value, I'm happy.
Yeah.
There's my mind.
Do you ever drive your own cars?
Sometimes, not always. It's it's not an easy, they're not easy things to drive because they're all prototypes, the ones I own.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically like saying, all the ones I own are prototypes.
Yeah.
So they are usually in a state that needs three guys to run them. Buy a 911, take the badges off it, stick a bumper on it, put some Arash badges on it, and I'll drive my own car.
Yeah.
So if you want a car that's fully homologated, then it's very difficult to do.
Okay.
No, I don't drive my cars all the time. I drink from mugs that I've got my cars on all the time. You see that?
Yeah.
That's an AF10 mug.
Yeah. You see, so do you have T-shirts as well? Do you have Farbound T-shirts or anything like that?
Yeah, we do. We keep selling them, and I keep forgetting to pack them and send them off. So they're all on the Arash Cars website. We do sell a digital T-shirt on the arash-tech.com website. Or you can just type in arashes.club. So it's arashs.club.
Yeah.
So www.arashs.club. And all my products on there you can buy. So digital stuff, coins, tokens. Yeah. If you go into the arashcars.com website, we do have some T-shirts for sale, but they are really expensive. They're really expensive, those ones. And the reason is we're not interested in selling a 20 quid T-shirt. They're really good quality and really good quality caps because it's a pain in the ass for me to pack and send stuff out and the team. And we haven't worked out this whole print-on-demand thing service.
Yeah.
So within the next couple of weeks, we'll probably do the link where the order goes to somebody who's capable of doing it and it goes out the door. I haven't worked that bit out. I mean, obviously, we're engineers, so we've been doing our own thing.
So what's your background then? What did you study? You said you studied...
I had a really amazing background, but torturous. I went to school in Cambridge, an all boys school, bit torturous. You know, I was the only brown kid, you know.
I was a bit of
a show off. It was a bit difficult for me. Then I went to a university called Queen Mary. I went to two really amazing private schools, all boys schools. I wasn't very good at anything. Just master of none, jack of all trades, could play tennis, rifle shooting in the RAF, flew aeroplanes. Amazing time I had, very privileged, very typical privileged kid, but was tortured. And then went to university at Queen Mary and Westfield College in London, Mile End Road, East End, London. Amazing time.
Oh, God.
Mile End Road, you know it. I lived in an apartment. I lived in an apartment block on my own from an all boys school, living with mum and dad, where food was made for you, and you know, completely mollycoddled because I was so thick and weird and dyslexic as well. I didn't understand. No one understood what dyslexia was. I managed to get to university by scraping in, two C's and an N for near miss. No one ever gets a grade like that apart from me. It's like near miss and of the moon. Not good. Managed to get into there. Studied business studies. I thought, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to study business studies. Learn about business. That's all I could do was business, money. I like money, business, you know. I don't want to be poor. And I wanted to own a sports car. I had a Golf at that time. I thought, you know what? I want to buy a Porsche. Yeah.
The guys was that your first car, the Golf? The Golf was your
first car. My first car was a Mini Metro, green. Awesome. Okay. Did 120 miles an hour.
What?
It did.
Seriously?
How? It really did. I used to sit at 110 miles an hour on the M11 going from Cambridge to South Woodford.
Yeah. Okay.
Steady as anything. Little Mini Metro. 110, 150, 120. I remember 7 Series BMWs keeping up to me going, wow, this guy's good. You know, just sitting. They had no cameras in those days. The M11 was empty with no lorries in those days. It was easy. No one was working those days. Why are we going from A to B? Can I go to university? But you didn't have that commerce going on. It was all like in the city. People in the city lived in the city. There was no commuting going on, apart from some kid with fuzzy hair in a green Mini Metro doing 120 miles an hour on the outside lane. AM stereo, that car.
Yeah.
And then my next car was a Golf GTI Cabriolet Sportline, which was epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A car.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Was it Mark 1?
It was a Mark 1, yeah. It was bloody amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, loved cars, it. Yeah. It was a Sportline. I'll send you some pictures of it.
I remember
getting it at the car garage. I think my dad felt sorry for me for being such a loser, you know, and no one liked me because I was so weird. And I think he was like, I'm going to treat my kids some gifts, you know, because they don't have much. We didn't have very much as kids. I had a radio control car, Hot Shot, which I've got the new version, which is in my office. And he bought me a Golf GTR, my brother a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
What a lovely dad. Wow. Typical Asian dad, you know. Work hard, give family good things. Me first, but give family good things. What my wife has, I give her grand piano, son, Golf GTI, and wife and daughter. I think my sister got I can't remember. I don't know what she got. She got a BMW of some sort, you know. Typical ladies. Yeah. Those days was like a 3 Series BMW. I think she really wanted that. My brother loves his Wrangler, and he's just bought another one. He just bought one exactly the same as the original one he had. I think he bought it back. I think it's the original car. He sold it to his friend Ash.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, he bought it back because he knows what I'm like. I don't sell any of my cars. I've got my original cars from 20 years ago. I still got them. And he's like, bro, why do you have all these cars? I'm like, mate, I don't know. A lot of books, they've got stories in them. Well, they're just lumps of metal, aren't they, mate? Depreciating assets. I'm like, well, they're not, though, are they? Because look at the price on that Ferrari. And I'm going, well, what do you pay for it? I'm like, I don't know, 120. Look at the price of it now. 200 grand.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Exactly.
Well, you idiot, you bought that. What's that worth now? I don't know, bro, I don't know. What do you pay for it? 130. What's it now? Half a million? He's looking at me like, you what? Why don't you sell it? Why I don't want to sell it. I like it. I like looking at it. But you don't use it. We're looking at it now. We're using it now. It's an asset. Yeah. No, it's not. It's a liability. It costs you money every month.
Yeah. Do you drive any of these cars now?
All of them. I've taken the Carrera GT and the 918 out. This year, done a lot with the 918 this year. That's been quite abusive.
Yeah.
We did Power Hill thing at Headingley Hall with Mad Max Marshall and his dad and supercar driver. I did so much with that car. It's such an easy car to work. It just works, that car. Carrera GT, I'm usually quite abusive. That's G3 RS. I've got one at home, an orange one. You see me that usually blats around Cambridgeshire. Lamborghini Yellow Merciful, I haven't used that this year. Just look at it. We just turn the engine on and drool on it and sit in it and go, it smells lovely. You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I use all of them.
Yeah, that's good.
Love them.
That's good. What's your favourite car? What's the car of your dreams, if you like?
I would say the ultimate car ever made cannot be repeated. The best of the best of the best of the best of the best. By a long way. I mean, we're talking stratospheric amounts of a long way. Is the Carrera GT Porsche.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate car. Nothing will come close to that. Not even a McLaren F1. And I know that because I speak to McLaren F1 owners. For rarity value, the McLaren F1 is better. For showing off how much money you got, buy a Bugatti. Bit dull. I've driven loads of them. I've been to the factory loads of times. Love the Bugatti guys. Big respect. But by far, the best car ever made, and you can't repeat it. It's not going to be possible. Is the Carrera GT for 5 reasons. 1, it's a Porsche.
Yeah. Big respect to the Porsche.
That brand is... it's all motorsport. 2, it's got a carbon monocoque on it. Looks like something out of a piece of jewellery. 3, it's got a screaming Formula 1 V10 engine in it. It's not the same as a Lamborghini Gallardo engine. It's not the same. It's completely different. This thing revs to 10,000 RPM. And its torque curve is insane.
Yeah.
Is this big?
Say that.
Is this big?
Say that again, sorry. Say that again.
It's a stack 3-plate clutch.
Yeah.
The clutch is this big, size of your fist. So the rotating mass is there. You feel it on your foot. The rev, it goes boom, 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 boom. And then the handling on it is a giant go-kart. Because all the rotating masses on that are very low. It looks spectacular, and the interior is impossible to date. You can't date this. The interior will never date. They know that, because Tony Hatter did the design. I met Tony a few times. And it's a bona fide asset that will just triple, quadruple, octuple, nanoople, whatever we want to call it, in value.
Yeah.
Because you can't buy one now. Good luck. I missed the boat to buy a second one. Really fucked up. Should have got a second one, but I didn't want a twin. You know, I like these things like my children. You know, I didn't want to buy another one. Is it her? Is it her? Is it her? Fuck it. It's only that one. That's the only that one.
And, yeah.
You know, that is by far the best car ever made, ever will be. Mm. Out of all the RS cars, it'd be the AF10, of course. It can't be that one.
That's a smart car.
I mean, the tech in that, 4 electric motors, lightweight battery pack, 7 kWh battery pack, supercharged V8 engine, fastest car on Asphalt 8 game and Asphalt 9, ultimate car, can't buy it, have to earn it. The business looks, it's got a front wing, you know, separated between the post front wing, which I know Ferrari starts to do that with the S duct. We were the first after the OX99 Yamaha. Big rear wing, side scoop. Tiny cabin, teardrop shape over a wedge, spaceship technology, lightweight carbon monocoque, complete orgasm. Love that car.
So how many are you making of those?
AF10, we don't make any
to
more.
Order?
We won't make. We would even to order. We wouldn't make it.
No.
No one's going to buy one. Don't worry. No one's going to buy one.
Okay.
No.
Why is that?
No one's going. Because everything's going electric, isn't it?
I'm not a big believer. I've got to say, I'm not a big believer in this electric movement, man.
I know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. You know, who wants to drive an electric hypercar? Nobody.
I get it. We've got to save the planet. But say that again.
Do you know if anybody's got an electric hypercar? I don't know anyone.
No, I don't know anyone. No.
Are there any electric hypercars out there?
I haven't seen any.
So what is that?
Yesterday I was in Kensington And I saw what's the Porsche, the latest Porsche hypercar?
Well, the 918 Spider.
Yeah,
But
think
that's a
I saw one of
hybrid. I've got
them.
one of those. I've got one of those. That's a hybrid.
Ah, okay, so that's not full on electric.
No, it's got two electric motors. But
Okay.
that's not, I mean, I use that in electric mode whenever I drive it, I have to admit.
Yeah.
But there is no, yeah, that's probably the only electric hypercar with a petrol engine in there. But an all electric hypercar, there are none. Rimac have got something, apparently. Batista have got something, apparently. Lotus
Yeah.
has got something coming. There's Jaspar Al. You know, there's a few cars out there that are coming out
Yeah.
potentially. And then the
Yeah.
jury's out how they are. It's tough. It's a tough game, this car thing with electric motors.
So
Why am I
what's
doing
the
it?
range?
Because the petrol engines. Sorry? Say
What's the
again, sorry?
range on your what's the range on your car, the AF10?
What, the new electric car or the current AF10?
The new electric one.
The new electric car. It depends. It's probably. We're sort of predicting it's going to be like 600 miles in sort of in motorway mode. It's, you know, it
Okay.
doesn't weigh much, the car. It doesn't weigh much.
Yeah.
So it's if you say the weight is half of a Tesla, the kilowatt hour battery pack's 50, which is half the weight, half the kilowatt hour of a Tesla, and a range of a
Yeah.
Tesla's about 350 miles, it'll be like that. Double it.
Yeah.
RV
Okay.
mass, you're gonna go a lot longer.
Yeah.
Range
Yeah,
is not an
so
issue nowadays. No one, range is, who does 600 miles in one go apart from a truck? No one. No
no
one.
one.
You don't.
No one
I
really.
know. I go to Monaco every year by car. I stop five times. I'm knackered.
Yeah, what do you do that in? What do you drive that in?
What do I drive when I go to Monaco? Oh, it depends. When I was a
Yeah.
kid, when I was younger, I'd drive a Lamborghini or a
Yeah.
Ferrari or a 911. You know, something zippy and fast and cool. In
Yeah,
my
yeah.
later days, I've been. Can you real coffee, Wendy? Can we change to coffee machine? Yeah, this is awful. Sorry, this is terrible.
Yeah,
No, oh, coffee machine. Come, that's terrible. God, you know where you get a coffee machine? Oh, press the button. Lisa will show you. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. It's okay. We'll go for a walk to my coffee machine.
okay.
Yeah, she doesn't use. She does. My machine's cheap, Wendy. That's crap. That stuff. Oh dear. This one. Oh, to buy the machine. No, this is a Christmas birthday present from my mum and dad. Don't worry. Don't worry. Here we go. I'm going to show you how to use my coffee machine. Here we go. Put that there. You press a button. Sorry. We're doing this. This is like
What
the Joe
machine is
Rogan bit
it?
where they use. Where's the Gaggia Naviglio? You put beans in.
Italian.
Yeah, put beans in. It's cheap.
Yeah.
These beans are from a charity called Kickstarter. It's one of my buddies.
Yeah.
She goes to Africa to save the kids from she's a nurse. She's really cool.
Okay.
And then she goes, oh, I'm selling. She says, I'm setting up a coffee company. I'm like, yeah, good job. What's it going to be called? Kickstarter. You know,
Yeah.
Kickstart coffee. And she
Yeah.
just brings me a bucket that she
Yeah.
refills. There's no wasted packaging.
Yeah.
No waste. Literally, it's just beans. I give her my old bucket back. She gives me some
Yeah.
stickers to put on my jam jar so it's branded. And then
Yeah.
I just get fresh coffee from Africa. And then we donate as well to save the kids
Okay.
that have issues with their bodies. So one of them needed a heart transplant. So, you know, we bought a shitload of coffee and donated so that he could have a new heart. I was like, you know,
Yeah,
that's
that's
great. You've got
great.
a kickstart as well. I get. Yeah, so, you know, if he gets a kickstart, there's my chicken.
Ah.
He's clucking around. You'll come in a minute. When he comes in, he starts making a lot of noise outside. Wendy brings him in, comes and
How
sits
do they
with
get in? How does he get in? Through a flap or they open the door?
No, he hasn't got flat. He's too big. He is massive. You'll see him in a minute. But yeah, he's come in through the back door, you know, the sitting room doors, and then comes and sits and has a chat. And if I'm working, you know, through Christmas last year, I was designing the chassis for the hypercar. Yeah. And he'd just sit for literally hours on my lap looking at the screen while I was clicking away. And then if I'm upstairs doing work on bits and pieces, then he'll come and sit with me and watch. Or, you know, if I want to escape the kids, because they're bloody noisy, my children, I come and sit in this room. And we either watch a movie. So we watch, this is an old telly, but it's still got a lovely picture. So we watch old DVDs together. So, you know, usual golden oldies. I like Tron. Yeah. I like Tron. I watch Tron a lot. So we just watch Tron together.
Yeah.
And cool, he just sits cool. And then sleeps. Good movie, that one. Digital Frontier.
You know, I was going to get a chicken. I was going to get a cockerel for my son, right? He's 4 years old. And it was between these three animals, right? So it was a penguin,
nice,
a donkey, because I'm Cypriot,
nice,
or a cockerel. And my wife said no to all three. She didn't want to look after any animals. And I'm thinking just to come home one day with a cockerel in my hand and just say, right,
oh,
Luca, is a chicken cockerel.
Oh, have you got, do you have a garden?
Yes.
If you do get a cockerel.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? You're going to have to build a little room for him. You're going to have to. Yeah. My wife's trying to tell me something. No. I'm just having an interview on a podcast.
Oh, okay.
So everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Okay.
When you're free, can I have a couple of minutes of your time?
What was wrong?
No, nothing's wrong. I'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
When you're
free. Okay. She's gonna give me a chat something like, you need to pay this bill, or, you know, the kids need this and that. So well, as long as you want, really. You know, give me a few minutes and I go and see. Oh, it's an hour, isn't it? This one. But I think you got an idea of what's going on in my head. For now, and I could do another interview with you if you want to.
Yeah. I'd prefer to do one face to face when I'm well enough and you've got time.
Come over. We're building a little area to do interviews because, you know, the message's got to go out, hasn't it? Of what I'm doing and what you're doing. So we're building a little area above. I think we're going to build an area above the clean room, which is going to be like a Jonathan Ross show style thing. With a big sofa and cameras, lighting and music, and make it really not podcasty in your bedroom looking. Make it really, really nice. So exciting!
That sounds amazing. I'll have to email you next week sometime, and we'll go for some dates together. Have you got anything planned, like any big launches or anything that you want to advertise or anything like that?
Nothing like physical. It will just be all digital. So we do lots of launches at the factory. So yeah, there are many launches prepared. So there's the car stuff. Mm. There's the space stuff. There's other bits and pieces. So yeah, loads of different things. Yeah, we're launching in literally lots of information all the time. That's why we want to have the studio at the factory to do all of this.
Yeah. It's probably the best bet. So the space stuff, where can people find out about what you're planning or what you're doing?
Yeah, rspace.com. It's a www.rspace.com. We'll be adding more bits and pieces. Follow me on Instagram. Arsh.farbu. That's pretty good. There'll be YouTube videos. You'll eventually find me. Just type in Arsh.farbu or Arsh Cars or Arsh Space. It all diverges somewhere. The most active one is the Arsh.farbu Instagram. That's the most active. That's the one I'm using all the time. Because at the end of the day, I am the brand and the brand is me, and I accept that now. It's not the company. The people look at the company and go, there's not much going on there. They come back to the person sort of leading it. And that's always It's always having to be me. And I've tried other people to do it for me. It just didn't work out. They didn't want to do it. You know, they were like, just about that. And they go, well, I don't want to talk about that. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Talk about T-shirts. We can talk about T-shirts, you know, or talk about some sort of engineering. But that's not enough. It doesn't grab people. Anyway, I better go. Wife is...
Yeah. Okay, all right. We'll continue this in a few weeks probably. But I'll give you a shout. Yeah, whenever you can.
Thank you so much.
So, all right. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Sorry about the cold and the flu and that, and didn't sound very good. But
it's annoying. I know that cold. 3 days last that one. It's so annoying.
Okay, mate. All right.
We all had it.
You take care.
See you soon.